Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Do the Cubs need to trade for bullpen help?
Maybe they don't need to trade for bullpen help. It's not mandatory. Maybe if Mike Montgomery ends up back in the bullpen once Kyle Hendricks comes back, you could make the case you're solid enough. But that doesn't mean they will not trade for bullpen help because, let's face it, Wade Davis, similar to the Quintana deal, Wade Davis out of contract as a free agent at the end of the season. So you're not only trying to bolster the bullpen for this year, and I'm not suggesting that Wade Davis will not be the closer at the end of this Cubs season, whether it's a regular season or a World Series championship or anything in between. But you can certainly go out and start planning for the future. Maybe Wade Davis signs a contract back here. Maybe he's going to be priced out of the Cubs market because we know that the Cubs don't really want to pay a lot of money for the closer. They let Aroldis Chapman go back to New York and cash big time. So I'm going to suggest they will trade for bullpen help, and it won't be a guy to replace Wade Davis, but it's a guy who could replace Wade Davis moving forward. And you can start looking around, and I'm not saying they're going to go top shelf when it comes to bullpen help. They're maybe not Zach Britton in Baltimore, which probably costs you something off the major league roster. But there are a few guys you want to keep your eyes on down in San Diego. Brad Hand certainly would be someone. The Padres getting calls on everybody. Here's an interesting one. Might not cost you a lot because the numbers, the other than the metrics, the numbers are not too enticing. Brandon Maurer, 5.30 ERA in 37 and a third innings pitch. But if you look at his fielding independent pitching, 2.85, 1.12 whip, and he has 14 straight saves. There's a guy who probably wouldn't cost you a whole lot. And again, you would be able to have him as one of the guys, the bridge guys to get to Wade Davis. There's also, Brad Hand is certainly a guy with a couple of years of arbitration left that you could realistically control at a decent price. So I think they might be on the phone to Jed Hoyer's old team with the Padres and be asking about one of their three or four guys that are definitely available.
About David Robertson. You've already made a deal. Now, I don't even know if they have enough to get David Robertson.
And I just don't think that they're going to pick up that contract. I don't think they're going to be paying, picking up the bulk of the $25 million so owed on him.
Yeah, that's interesting about bullpen and an extra year of control because Theo has been on record saying they go up and down year to year. Yep. You really can't predict what a relief pitcher is going to do. I was surprised yesterday by the report that the Cubs were taking a look at Zach Britton. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where this question comes from a little bit, and he is under control for next year, but that's a guy you're not too worried about being under control. He's just coming off this injury. He will cost you. He will definitely cost you, but to the question, do they need to trade for bullpen help? I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to say yes for just about any single team in baseball. You're going to deal with injuries over the next couple of months, and the Cubs were lucky enough to get through that last year when they dealt with injuries in the second half with the relief pitching. But even though this has been the strength of the team throughout the season, they're not locked down top to bottom. They have been with Wade Davis, and it was scary last night, but that's going to happen from time to time with any closer in this game. But the answer is going to be yes. And if you could bring in a top-end guy, I don't know how you make a move for Britton, but if it's somebody else, now you're creating an advantage that some other teams that you would face in the playoffs don't have, like the Washington Nationals. Maybe you don't have their rotation or their offense, but maybe you create an advantage with a better bullpen that they have. So yes, they do need bullpen help.
I wouldn't say they need it. The Cubs are second in the National League right now in bullpen ERA, behind, of course, the Dodgers. Who else would they be behind? They're pretty much behind the Dodgers in everything. Everybody's behind the Dodgers.
Dodgers in town tonight. Clayton Kershaw against the White Sox. Yeah.
Is it minus 300?
Good tickets still available.
What's the game time on that, Dustin? We'll save that for
later. Yeah, that's a tease, Brian. That's a tease.
I don't think that it's imperative that the Cubs trade for bullpen help. Like I said, they have a very good bullpen right now, but guys will get injured. Guys will become inconsistent. That's the nature of bullpen arms.
Will become Hector Rondon.
Guys, exactly. You will see a couple more Hector Rondon
injured and inconsistent
tragedy stories, yeah, where either it's injury or he just falls off the face of the earth and he can't find it anymore. So bullpens are very erratic like that. So I think it would be a good idea. Theo and Jed seem to prioritize late inning shutdown guys. They've always gone out and made trades or spent big money on closers and late inning guys. So I think that it's in the future. You will see definitely some moves made here in the bullpen. Certainly not at the top of their list of needs, but it's always good to fortify the pen whenever you can.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a yes as well for this. Absolutely. This has been, as Joe indicated earlier, I mean, this team has relied so heavily on this bullpen. And yes, they've been solid, but what if you're looking to the fall, looking to the playoffs, you're going to have some arms that are just worn out and tired, and you really hope that there will not be any injuries. But I mean, that is the name of the game. Likely you'll see an injury or two. So yes, I'm gonna say absolutely they should trade for bullpen help.
I think it's still wait and see how these next 2 weeks go overall, and obviously what the price of poker is. You still have to figure out, are you an October team, really? Is this really... Now, if you really feel that you are, then yes, go for it, right? Because as you guys have mentioned, Uehara has thrown way...
Well...
He's been good overall, but you don't feel real great October Uehara coming in the eighth to set things up. That doesn't get me all warm and fuzzy in the right spots, Uehara. But
Friday night made you a little itchy.
Yeah, so I unfortunately, I'm going to have to do a let's wait and see.
Man, that's a tough question. You asked me a tough question last week.
You're damn right I did.
You got the tough one.
Did you have an issue with Joe Maddon putting the Braves' winning run on base?
Initially, I did while watching the game, but there's always a method to Joe Maddon's madness. He has all the numbers. He's already taken a look at all the matchups.
The juice is good also.
The problem was that immediately... Big old Matt Adams is standing on second base, and now he's in scoring position. Yeah. The chance to win the game and have a walk-off there. Versus right-handed pitching, Matt Adams is hitting .315 this year, an OPS of .957. Against lefties, not so much, as he's hitting well below .200. So that's what they were looking for. They didn't want to give up a long ball with that high OPS. And when you think about it, it really instills a lot of confidence in Wade Davis. Not that there's any reason you shouldn't have confidence in Wade Davis, but the entire team. Look, I trust you guys defensively, and I trust you to get us out of here. The game is completely on you. We're not going to Edwards or anybody else, even though some people may have been screaming for that. I don't know. Davis has been there, done that, but I actually like the move. He played the matchups, and maybe it ends up being a good thing down the road.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. Initially, you're going, man, this might not work out too well for you. But I think Joe has still got plenty of confidence in the Cubs' defense, that he probably has more confidence in it than I do at times. But as soon as you get the stolen base and the runner at second, now the strategy seems to have blown up a little bit, because you're going to have you don't have the force play at second, you don't have the double play in order and everything else. So the fact of the matter is, Tyler Flowers' loud fly ball to the warning track scared me a little bit.
Kept going and going and going. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I it's not exactly walking Barry Bonds with the bases loaded. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of issues. And I'm sure that, like you said, the numbers, the computer printouts, the matchups, and Joe's script. We know he has a script for everything. There's no game eight that he had that all figured out.
Got to follow script, and it's not just Joe. It's input from the geeks, as he refers to them as, and all of the analytics departments and all of the people above Joe. And and side by side with Joe and everybody else in the brain trust in the organization. And they go so deep with these numbers and the scenarios. So, yes, it's not just Joe being goofy Joe and saying, hey, yeah, let's just put this guy on, babe, and let's see what happens. There's a lot that goes into it. And they did win the game. Wade Davis is one of the best closers in baseball. So I didn't have a problem with it really at the time. They ended up winning. I don't really see what the issue is. You know, I always let Joe off the hook.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it either. Obviously, just another vote of confidence in Wade Davis. And for all the reason, you have all the reason in the world to have confidence in Wade Davis. So I absolutely don't have an issue with it. I mean, had that, you know, run scored, we'd have a different conversation today. But I absolutely do not have a problem with it.
Yeah, it was a flip of a coin type of thing, whether to have an issue or not. Listen, there would have been a much bigger issue had he hit the ball out of that ballpark last night, right?
Yeah.
That would have been, what are you doing, Joe? What's the matter with you, Joe? And I think, Joe O, you brought up a good point about the fact that this is the type of move that can really show your team that you have their back, right? That you believe in them. We can get out of this. I'm not doing any monkeying around. We are good. Respect 90, believe in the concepts, yada, 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 yada.
You'll see the t-shirt.
They won.
Has
right?
a chance this morning, to repeat itself.
This morning, if you fell asleep, they won. And that's all that matters. They won.
It's good to be uncomfortable, man. You know, great question.
Which position other than quarterback will you be watching at Bears camp?
You know, I get everyone's going to be looking at Leonard Floyd and seeing how he comes post-concussion and his development. You know, you got to get to the quarterback, so the defensive line and certainly the back end of the defense, I don't know what they have there. The answer probably likely not much. So, you know, you can watch it and be concerned about it, but I'm not expecting a huge upgrade in that area. I think it's the offensive line. I mean, no matter if it's the year of Mike Glennon, just ask him, or if it's Mitchell Trubisky, or it's even Jordan Howard. This offensive line scares me a little bit only because I don't have all that faith in the plan of switching Josh Sitton over to the right side and bringing Kyle Long coming off injury. And instead of the two surgeries, he had the one surgery, and then he had the issues after the leg surgery. So he decided not to go with the shoulder surgery. And now here you go, Pro Bowl, and I put those in air quotes, Pro Bowler Kyle Long moving over to left guard once he's up and running, and he's probably going to open up the certainly the training camp. He's going to be on the PUP list, physically unable to perform list. I don't have the look. He was a Pro Bowler. I get it. I still think that of all the All-Star designations of any of the pro leagues, I think that one is a little bit thin when it comes when in my world that's probably the thinnest when it comes to All-Star designations. I you know, the contract, and you tied him up and gave him the $18 million guaranteed. I don't know what kind of player moving forward Kyle Long's going to be. And because you keep having this itch to move him around, and that speaks to maybe your faith in the rest of the guys or lack thereof. And I get Josh Sitton played 5 years on the right side with the Packers. I'm not even sure how much game Josh Sitton has left. But that I think that the moving pieces coming off injury – and the idea you have to protect whichever quarterback is back there and open up holes for Jordan Howard. I think the offensive line, if that's going to be your strength, and I think it's going to be your strength, the you know, you're going to have to score some points here because I don't know that the defense is going to prevent a lot of points. That's my concern, and I you know, I'd love to say I'm the biggest fan and the president of the Kyle Long fan club. I think on a lot of other teams, he's a contributor and an above-average guy, but I don't think he's the guy who gets all the love like he does here in Chicago. I think here, it's relatively speaking, he stands out because there's not much else up and down the group.
Yeah, for Kyle Long, and we bring it up, and you should bring it up, that when you're starting the conversation, not that that's the case now, but when you used to start the conversation by talking about good Bears players, and we're talking about guard play,
yeah,
that's a problem. That's a lack of talent on your roster because you don't know where else to go. Where else do you dominate here?
And I think we can stop the left tackle talk right after we saw the struggles on the right
side.
And
I'd like to see him finish his season, too.
Yeah.
That would be nice, too. Yeah. It feels like 95% of the conversation this year is going to be about the quarterback, and it probably should. With them
2017 making... season is my year.
Yes.
Is it? How long?
Who are you again?
The game?
Yeah.
I will go with pass rushers. I'll say defensive ends / outside linebackers. You go pass rushers overall. You mentioned Leonard Floyd coming back.
Pernell McPhee.
Some of the guys you've brought in via free agency. Yeah, Houston, McPhee. What can they
do? Lamar Houston's still on this team.
I guess.
And he's still making a gazillion
dollars.
He's
been here forever.
Yeah.
Right? And it's only been since, what, 2012 when they signed him? It seems like he's just been here forever.
I mean, he's banked a lot of money for not being around or not being visible.
Not very much production, though.
Yeah. Yeah, his highlight is... His torn ACL end of the year
on the
Patriots. Yeah.
On the backflip.
After a sack of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Would be Bears quarterback.
Yeah, so I would definitely say the pass rushers. For them, offensively, they just don't have the talent. We'll see if they can develop a quarterback. They just don't have it. So the quickest path for the Bears to win is you like what you have in Vic Fangio. They've brought in different pass rushers. You get to the quarterback, you get to Aaron Rodgers, you get to Matthew Stafford. That's the best path for them to win. And let's see if they have something. It is, outside of quarterback, one of the most important positions in all of football. So I'll be watching pass rushers.
I like Cameron Meredith. I'm not saying he's a number one or even a number two wide receiver, but he did pretty well for himself last year, given the fact, you know, who was throwing to him. But the wide receiver core on this team is such a mixed bag. You really have no idea what you're going to get from about half of these guys. Like I just said, I like Meredith, but as a guy who's going to be a third-year player now who didn't even play wide receiver in college, you could expect a little inconsistency there. Kevin White, nobody knows what the hell's going on with him, whether he's still got that speed and burst and athleticism that caused Ryan Pace to draft him so high a few years back. You don't know if the injuries have caught up with him already at a young age. And then you've got veterans. You've got the ghost of Victor Cruz after how many knee surgeries he's had. Marcus Wheaton, who couldn't even put up numbers with Ben Roethlisberger throwing him the ball in Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of variables here. I want to know who's catching the ball. Mike Glennon, it's his year. Ostensibly, he'll be throwing the ball until maybe an itchy trigger finger gets Mitch Trubisky in there at week 15, 16. Who knows on that front? But I want to know who's going to be catching the ball this year, because none of these guys really impress me too much. I want to have faith in Kevin White. I really, really do. I might be still one of the only people left in Chicago that's holding out hope that he could be a top of the depth chart type guy, Pro Bowl potential. But I don't know. This is such a mixed bag of receivers. I really have no idea who's going to step out and become the guy out of this pack. I'm going to be looking at it very closely.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin here. Wide receiver's got to be your number two concern after quarterback, and particularly as Kevin mentioned, Kevin White. You know, this is a guy, here's year three, who he's been plagued. He didn't even play his first year, injured second year. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to show you something. He was your, you know, first round number seven pick. You have high hopes. We've had high hopes for this guy. He's got to show us something this year. So also wide receiver, particularly Kevin White, is my concern.
I really think every position is needed to be looked at. Obviously, quarterback's the one because of the sexiness and the importance of the position. I thought we brought up the offensive line, but personally, I'm more worried about the tackles than I am the guards. I think it's probably the only reason I wish Mully was here right now, so we could argue about who's the right guard and the left guard and putting your hand down, which I think is
what
the
do
biggest.
You mean the only reason?
You don't have to repeat the fact that I said that. It's just ridiculous whose hand is on the ground, the right hand, the left hand, and it's the biggest. But if you wanted to get
as
into
a would-be offensive lineman in the league, if you'd only got to 6'2".
Well, right. If I would have, you know, we've had that conversation.
Yes. You were half lit in Vegas,
right?
Well, it was only lunchtime.
I told Olin Kreutz right here that he would have replaced me had I been 6'2".
Again, you have to visualize it. We're at Caesars. We're
Caesars,
having lunch
at Bobby Flay's place,
and you're full tank of Bud Light before the food. And you literally get up from the table and get into your stance and start protecting the quarterback, you know, while the waiter's trying to get around you to deliver cheeseburgers.
Is this 4 a.m.?
It's noon.
I think I made more contact than one of the other former centers on the team. He just avoided contact. Yeah. I made more contact in that sports book than he did in an NFL game.
Anyway, how did Olin react when you said this?
He just almost tinkled. I mean, he just laughed out loud. Yes, he's like, really? Give me a break. It's like, you're five what?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but in all seriousness, how about the secondary, right? So can Amukamara play anymore? Like, if he can't, if some of these guys can actually play, if Demps and Amukamara can actually play.
Are you betting on either one of them?
That's why I want to watch it.
One guy coming off the career year, but
I may not be
career.
Quite the Joe O territory, but yeah. I do. You know, I would love to get the Bears into some teasers this year.
Yeah,
I do make a Saturday and Sunday 10-team teaser every week. That's my go-to.
What's the
thing.
Over/under in Vegas on wins?
What was it? Was it 4 or 4.5?
4.5.
Yeah, I think it was 4.5. Yeah.
Not exactly.
Now, if those two guys can play a little bit, if you do expect the defensive line to get after the quarterback, these guys can actually stay on a wide receiver for more than 2 or 3 seconds, you might win a game or two extra than you thought.
What do you tease it?
Oh, I just
see interesting. 6, 7, 10?
6.
Some people do that. What does that pay? 10.
Well, a 10-team, 6-point teaser.
You've come close on many. Have you ever cashed one of those?
Oh, yeah.
You've had a lot of 8s and 9s.
Every year I hit 1 or 2 early.
Yeah.
But then that's usually it. But it pays for the whole rest of the year.
Okay. Wow.
So I usually hit one. But so many 8s and 9s.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, that's why they're in business. Yeah.
But it's so much fun.
That's a heck of a question. I've been doing this a long time, and that's the first time anyone's ever asked me that. That's a heck of a question.
Has your opinion of Lonzo Ball changed after he was named NBA Summer League MVP?
You have to separate dad and son, okay? The kid is a hell of a talent. I know that I loved watching UCLA basketball because of Lonzo Ball. They had a hell of a team, but he was the main reason. And I think he's going to be a star at this next level. I'm going to go out of my way to watch Lakers games. If they're on TV, I'm going to watch them because of Lonzo Ball. And part of it is going to be the cutaways to dad, and I will laugh when they interview dad. And they probably should, even though some people say they shouldn't. And I don't know if this continues every single day, all season long, and I'm sure at some point Magic will say, hey, just back off a little bit.
Do you think that he's actually going to follow the please back off a little bit? I don't think.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think.
Well, it depends if they get a shoe deal or not. Do they need to promote him or not? But
I'm trying to tell you, I knew this was happening before it was happening.
Here is your list of Summer League MVPs recently.
Hold your breath here.
2016, Tyus Jones. 2015, Kyle Anderson. 2014, Glenn Rice. 2013, Valanciunas, pretty good. 2012, there are two listed, Josh Selby and Damian Lillard.
You get down to 2011, lately, John Wall. Now,
there was a run there. Yeah. Blake Griffin in 2009, too. But then teams smartened up. Wait, what are we doing?
Yeah.
This is a summer league. Are we really risking injury with what we think our franchise players
are? Why don't you go home and take care of Chris Dunn's family?
Yeah, before he was named Summer League MVP, I thought he was going to be a star at the next level. It didn't change my feeling on Ball at all, but it was exciting, and it's going to be exciting. The league loves it when the Lakers are being talked about.
The league loves it when they're being talked about. Look, they were sold out. Those games were sold out. They're like NBA atmosphere, playoff atmosphere, because the Laker fans showed up to go see Lonzo Ball. He was named MVP with missing the last two games. He's going to have an MRI on his ankle, right, too? I wondered which shoe he was wearing at the time. Because, see, that's the thing. You got to separate son and dad, and I'm with you because he's Little League dad on steroids. And at times I get a kick out of him, and other times you just want to say, you know, kick him out of the gym. The idea, every time you start to appreciate and really appreciate the talent, I mean, the passing talent, you can't teach that. The touch, you know, three-quarter court passes, you know, that they're right there. You know, if Mitch Trubisky has the touch on his passes that this kid does, it would be a good start. But, you know, this week, just like when you had the big baller brand shoes that no one was making, but if you could order one for $800, you get the glass-encased shoes that they'll make custom-made for you. It'll take 2 months because they don't have a shoe deal. You know, this week, every day he wore a different brand. It was Nike, Adidas, it was Under Armour, because, you know, they're trying to create a bidding war, okay? And I get NBA's big business. I get everyone gets a shoe contract. You know, good Lord, we know Adidas, you know, regrets the day they signed Derek to the $250 million.
And Dwight at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But
seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
But everyone's watching this kid because of the dad and because of the business aspect. Just give him some chance to breathe. Did you have to in summer league, you know, change shoes every day to get the bidding war for the shoe deal? Because just when I'm warming up to the idea that, you know, this kid is going to be a special talent and is a special talent, and trying to embrace that. He seems humble enough. He seems to get it. He talks about teammates. He does, you know, doesn't seem to put himself in the spotlight, but Dad's always there to shove him right in there if he steps out of it. So my opinion is changing, and every time I'm really coming, you know, making a stride towards wanting to really root for Lonzo Ball, you know, they make some business decision or some crass decision that, you know, makes me take a step back, and I hope that changes because I think, you know, I think the league would love to have more guys with his talent. I mean, averaged almost a triple-double, and again, it's summer league, I get it, but, you know, with the pressure on and everyone watching, he delivered.
My opinion hasn't changed at all. It's been consistent pretty much since the first time I saw Lonzo Ball play. Joe, like you, I watched a lot of Pac-10 basketball last season, so I knew what he was capable of, and I knew that he was going to be a special player at the next level. As far as his dad goes, I think he's absolutely hysterical. I have not grown tired of LaVar Ball's antics whatsoever yet. I don't envision myself doing so anytime soon because I love big, obnoxious, you know, stupid-ass personalities and people that just kind of act like a damn fool all the time just to
get
publicity.
Kevin.
See, yeah, that's why Dustin and I get along so well. And I'm saving up for my big baller shoes, hopefully by the time Christmas rolls around.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Putting a couple dollars in the jar every day so I can be a big baller.
Are you getting the glass and case, the going premium, or just the entry level big baller?
I'm going to get on the entry level big baller program. Yeah.
Did you see Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers said Lonzo Ball will be better than Jason Kidd? Your guy, Flea.
Flea is a huge Lakers
yes,
fan.
Yes, he is. He's very big. Let me think about that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, Jason Kidd was one of my favorite players of all time. Lonzo, I feel like, is already a little bit ahead of him in terms of his scoring. He's a better shooter than Kidd was when he entered the league. But, you know, the comparison is thrown around a lot between those two players. That's setting the bar pretty high. Jason Kidd's like a Hall of Fame talent. But as far as Lonzo goes, I've always been a fan. I love the way he plays. And I like the contrast between him and his dad. Lonzo's not like his dad at all, and I think that's good for him that people can separate the two entities there. So I'm all about Lonzo Ball, big baller brand. You guys will see me in my shoes here come Christmas time.
I mean, I love a good Flea endorsement, but you know, my opinion hasn't changed of Lonzo Ball, and it's this. Of course he's a dynamic player. Of course he's talented. He's a special player, and LaVar Ball wouldn't hesitate to tell you any of that, of course, as we know. But He's a great, great college basketball player, and until we see him in the regular season and get a regular season under his belt and see how he performs in the NBA, that's my opinion. He's a great college player. We'll see. I don't really know. You don't know until you get a full season under your belt, in my eyes. So that's what I'm waiting for, to see him in big NBA, big league action,
big baller action,
big baller action.
Get it right, Ray. Big. Listen, I thought he was more show than go, and I think we got to see that he's some go in the summer league. Now, I felt like he avoided some things that might not fit his style right away, or he wasn't sure about. He avoided playing Fox, right, with the Kings, and now the Blazers think that he was avoiding them last night, and he's not up for the rivalry with them and stuff like that.
That's a rivalry?
Supposedly. I think it's a draft pick rivalry.
Yeah.
I think that's the point. It's the new young guys are going to have a rivalry that he's already shying away from in Portland's mind. No, I mean, listen. The dad's going to end up coming off as a genius, right? They're Kardashian light. They're the Kardashians of the sport world. I mean, they're not going on E, but they're going to have a Facebook live reality.
Real, yeah.
So who's winning? Who's winning right now? The Balls are winning. Okay, that's who's winning right now.
Who plays Ferrari in this version of the Kardashians and Black China and Rob and Help?
Wait, how do you know all this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hanley knows way more than
I saw this last...
Looking at all the magazines,
no,
waiting in line at the grocery store.
I saw a headline and clicked on it. I'm like, who are these people? I actually read a full story, and it was like a primer into complete idiocy. I'm like, who are these people? What do they do for a living? They all have way too much money and way too much time on their hands. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, the fact that I know... I just love they all go by one name, or of course everyone knows Ferrari. You know, he's sleeping with Black China because Rob is posting, and what's the kid's name? You know, what a poor kid. Help.
That is a very strange and peculiar and unusual question.
What about Scott, Brian? You hate him?
I saw where Bruce Jenner, a.k.a. Caitlyn Jenner, and she is going to run for Senate. I guess anything goes these days in politics.
If you're on TV you're a piece of garbage, you're qualified to run for political office.
Yeah. Wow. So,
will you watch O.J. Simpson's parole hearing?
Oh, boy. You know, I get it. I get the system is going to be fair and work for O.J., and he's been, quote-unquote, a model prisoner, such as it is. He's been in jail since 2008. And you know what? If he died in jail, I'd be fine with it. I would be absolutely. I'd watch them roll his corpse right out of the jail, and you know, pray.
So that you tune into,
yeah, exactly.
I'd
pray it down the strip, and you know, everyone can celebrate. But the guy's a piece of garbage. Always will be a piece of garbage. You know, I wish there was a way they could enforce him to pay the $33.5 million civil judgment that the Goldman family and Nicole Simpson's family won against him, but. He took up residence in Florida because I guess there the NFL pension is untouchable. You can't come out, you know, you can't force him to take pension money and pay civil judgments. It was at the time, and this well before he went to jail, it's like $25,000 a month that he gets in NFL pension money. But you know, this guy hasn't paid a dollar. Hasn't, and you know, the fact that they overcharged and he got oversentenced for a joke of a robbery to get his memorabilia back in a Las Vegas hotel room, you know, what a dope this guy is. And, you know, keep the dope in jail. But, yeah, I love it. They're bringing back they're putting the band back together. Mark Furman is going to be an analyst on the parole hearing Thursday. All these guys are going to get one more check after botching the prosecution. They're all going to be there with their hands out to get paid yet again. To be the so-called expert. They were so expert they couldn't, you know, whatever. I don't know that I'll be watching it, but I'm rooting against the odds that he actually stays in jail because apparently everyone believes he's going to get his parole, and on October 1st he's going to walk out a free man. And at the age of 70, I don't know what kind of life you live after that. I hope you're ostracized anywhere you take up residence. I mean, you know, go live in the woods up in Oregon or somewhere. Get the hell out of my sight.
Absolutely. We almost didn't even get to this point, apparently, because he was eating a cookie in plain sight that he was given by a culinary worker, which would have been great. I wish that would have happened where
he's put on a few pounds in prison. Have you noticed he's not running through the airports anymore?
Yeah, he's not outside working out with everybody else, it doesn't seem like. This country is obsessed with O.J. All five of us and everybody listening, we remember where we were when that happened.
Absolutely.
I was in high school. School stopped. Everybody turned that on TV, whatever channel, because it was on every single channel 24/7. Could you imagine the coverage if that something like that were to happen
now? Well, I
remember
the actual Bronco chase. I mean, for a while, I think I was watching
the finals, right?
Yeah, and there was a split screen. I was at a bar or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, they went from little box split screen. They were not, you know, OJ's in that white Bronco, and you're just standing there going, "What am I watching here?"
Bob Costas is cutting in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So yes, I'll be watching for sure. And I'm hoping for some positive news.
By the way, remember they had a Chicago connection. He flew here, and they thought he buried the knife out by that crappy hotel off the Kennedy near O'Hare Airport, and they were searching out there for it.
Yep. You watched 30 for 30, right? That was it, five parts?
Yeah.
And it's just, we're obsessed.
Yeah, had this been last year at the height of the rebirth of OJ Mania with the miniseries on FX, which was wildly entertaining, and the very good 30 for 30, as you just mentioned as well, Joe. Had this been last year when all this was coming back out, I might have more interest, but I've already kind of waned on my OJ fever a little bit. I really don't care. I'm not going to watch his parole hearing. The fact that they're airing it live is a little preposterous for me, so nah, I think I'm going to pass on this one, Juice.
I'll never forget where I was during the Bronco chase that aired on television. I was watching Family Matters, and Steve Urkel was about to go into the time machine that he had built. And then the episode was interrupted right as he walked into the time machine. I'll never forgive OJ for that.
Spoiler alert. Do you know what happened? You go back and on demand to see the end of it?
Didn't have the VCR rolling. I don't know. But
is that on Netflix now?
Yeah.
It might be. It might be.
Wait for that season, the full season to come out on on Netflix.
There
or
we go.
Hulu.
Well, no, I like Kevin, I'm not going to really. I don't care to feed into OJ mania. I don't really care to watch any of these televised court hearings, whether it be OJ, Casey Anthony, or whoever it is.
Oh, I was big into the Casey Anthony thing.
Yeah, yeah. I can't do it.
Nancy Grace guy over there.
So, no, I will not be tuning in for it.
All right. I'd love to say real quick that I wouldn't watch, but unfortunately I will watch, or I will set my DVR.
Will you have the class watching?
I don't know if we get cable at the Illinois Media School. If we do, though, we should watch it.
Will the over-air networks, will the CBS, ABC, NBC be carrying that?
Well, I have not seen that. I've just seen that the four-letter network plans.
So sure. I guess if Fox is planning.
I mean, if he doesn't get it, I bet they'll break in and say that he didn't get it. But if he walks, I don't think that's.
I would break in. You can't break into the talk or something.
Plus with the time change in Vegas, we'll start a little bit later in our day, and maybe Jerry Springer will have to be.
I don't think he's on anymore.
Oh, he isn't? No.
Is Jerry still on? I don't think Jerry Springer's still on.
Oh, Steve Wilkos. No, it's Maury.
Wilco and Maury.
It's Maury because the two episodes.
The baby daddy is.
Yeah. You're not the father, or lie detector said you didn't sleep with the sister. All right. That's our 5 at 5.
Your viewing habits. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot about Brian today.
Get away
to
DVR. Yeah. Jesus.
And Maury's only like 90. Thank God for plastic surgery. He's still banking. all right. That's our 5 at 5.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.